You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
This is the IT in the D Show, episode 296. Thank you for clicking play. This is the post-PenguinCon edition. We have an awesome guest in studio. Rob Cote is in the house. He is the CEO of Security Vitals, and we are going to be talking about security metrics, that fun, happy topic.
We're going to be talking about the vitals of security?
Metrics. The vitals of the metrics. But no, we're going to be talking about security metrics from an executive point of view, something that is sorely lacking and ignored these days. But hey, this show is brought to you by our good friends at MEDC. Do us a favor. Evan Lyle of Roush Enterprises is a big fan of Michigan. As he put it, the future of mobility is going to be decided right here in this state. Do us a favor. Go to planetm.com to find out why. That's planetmaltogether.com. Dave, you may have everyone ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
It's I Love the 90s, and this is 1996.
This is Max Headroom, and what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now, and remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Welcome to the Rock.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
There were no utensils in medieval times, hence there are no utensils at medieval times. Would you like a refill on that Pepsi?
There were no utensils, but there was Pepsi?
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT in the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
The price is wrong, bitch.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
Just a little anxious to get up there and whoop E.T.'s ass.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
Show me the money!
Hey, guys, it's Timehawk, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT and D Show.
Everybody, this is Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. You're listening to IT in the D. And if you want to get your money's worth, stay right here. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
Number one, you can never have sex. Number two, you can never drink or do drugs. And number three, never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, say, I'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT in the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
Nerds! What is a nerd?
Hi, this is Ogre. You listen to a bunch of nerds on the IT and the D? Nerds.
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT and the D.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, is that useful to you?
Yeah.
Hey, what up? This is Jay Muse, and you're listening to the IT and D Show. Snooch to the nooge. Listen, Muse, Snoogans.
I'm trying to find a gentleman doll.
Me too, me too.
Do you have any more in the back?
This is Scott Steiner, Big Pump Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
I'm both called a slang blade. I call it a tidy blade.
This is Robert Hayes, a Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
It's about the bunny.
You were expecting maybe the Easter Bunny?
You're a cartoon. You're not real.
Not real, eh?
From Detroit, this is the IT and D Show. This is Tiny Lister Debo from the hit movie Friday. Keep your lights on, because I still got the bicycle. Now get that mic out my face.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Oh!
So, Roy, let me ask you, what have you been doing all these years?
Drinking.
Yeah, a lot of drinking.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science.
So,
Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
I work alone. If anyone comes to you and claims that I've sent them, Eustace.
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Now buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Welcome. Thanks for hanging out with us. This is the one and only IT and the D Show. We made it all the way to episode 296. Hanging out here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit. Beautiful.
Wait. That means we are at Bob's Wrong plus 280 now.
280.
Yeah, I've been tracking that.
For those that don't know, I said we run out of crap to talk about after 16 episodes. I know it's old joke now, old bit. But hey, we're at Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy. That is Dave the Geek. Nuri the FNG is in the house, as is Randy. I do the Twitters. Find us online, itinthed.com, and do us a favor. Give us a like on the socials. And you know what? We haven't got a review on iTunes or Stitcher in like a long time.
Yeah, go do one.
Yeah, if you don't want to, that's fine.
Anyone actually listening? Take 2 seconds to leave us a comment, please.
Dude,
is this thing on?
No, it's true. Like, and we actually talked about this during. You know what? We'll get to PenguinCon in a sec. Let's talk about our events. We've got Ann Arbor tomorrow night. That is the one at Haymaker.
Yes, Haymaker.
Cool.
5 p.m.
5 o'clock till whenever. We will then be at Embrew on
Wednesday the 8th is podcaster meetup.
Oh, that's right. Well, yeah. This Wednesday. Yep. We're at Salinas.
Tuesday the 7th, Ann Arbor. Wednesday the 8th, Salinas in Madison Heights for podcaster meetup.
Do our livers ever get a break?
No.
My check liver light came on this weekend, and I knew that something had to give.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the 16th, we're at Embrew. Followed by the 17th, 18th, and 19th, we're at Motor City Comic Con.
Yep.
We are doing a free podcast day thing there. So if you're planning on going to the con and you want to check out our gear, by all means, hit the form on the Podcast Detroit website. Pick a time slot, use the gear, rah-rah. That's the only one we're doing this month because, well, we didn't do one on the first Saturday because we were at PenguinCon, which segues me back to – we actually talked about that on one of our podcast panels, that engagement can be insanely weird. Like there are some shows that get next to no listeners, but like they're all over like Twitter and Instagram and that kind of stuff. Us, we don't get a lot of online engagement, but yet everywhere we freaking go, there's somebody that's like the guy that came to our event. Hey, I've been listening to you since episode one. You guys are great. The guy that was in the podcasting panel. Hey, I listen to you guys every week. Helps me pass the time in meetings, that kind of stuff.
I had some random be like, Nuri, you're Nuri from IT and the D. I'm like, yeah.
Nice. Really?
Yeah.
And it's funny, and we're still like shocked. Like, I think
that anyone listens
part.
Ever.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's cool. I dig it.
But I'm going to start handing out business cards with QR codes directly to leave a review.
No, nobody uses QR codes.
Oh, I had a big argument with the Auburn Hills Board of Directors about QR codes. We'll see that for another day. But I just want to honestly, from the bottom of my heart, hats off to everyone that – work their tails off on PenguinCon from
except
ops
for
to the staff,
except for the hotel elevator,
the elevator
crew.
Mechanics.
Oh my god!
I know, right? But no, those shout out to Jeff Maricini, for example. He runs registration
desk
every year.
That man is just a machine.
We saw him at 1 a.m. and that's when he finally decided to close because there were still people coming in to register, and he left it open. And he's just like – the man has just absolute heart of gold, patience of a saint. Jessica did a phenomenal job chairing the whole thing. Everything came back to her. Ops did a great job. I mean, like if you just follow their Twitter, there's like someone left a watch wherever. Come get it at Ops.
Yep.
Like they were just – communications was on point. What was it up to for total –
15,
total hours?
70, oh, hours? I think there were 400 plus hours. She told me the number and I almost fell out of my chair. We were so this is your first PenguinCon panel. And I asked her, and she said the number, and I spit my drink. I was so disbelieving of how many hours. It's just, it's ridiculous. I mean, I was on a morning rave at 6 a.m., and then there were other panels going to way late into the evening. It was just such a crazy weekend.
Yeah, and I was waking up at 11 a.m. going, where's my wallet? Where's my keys?
Where's my liver?
Yeah, I'd called you 10 times trying to hunt you down.
Where's my internal organs?
Because you walked away from that party that night, and you're like, hey, give me a bottle. I'm like, I've got a couple bottles, and then I handed you a full bottle of vodka, and you walked off.
And apparently, as the story goes, I yelled at someone.
Oh, this was the best. So, we go back to Bob's room. Like, there's, I don't know, like a little, maybe eight of us that go back. He has no recollection of us even going back to his room. So we go back to his room and we're hanging out there. And the girl said something in Bob's defense, and I wish I could remember what the hell it was, but I just remembered it was something.
Bob can't.
It was something. No, it was just one of those things that was just so dumb and noteworthy dumb that Bob was like, "You're a moron." And she got all pissed off, of course, and stormed out with her friend. And yeah,
it made it all worth it. But no, we had a little bit of a going away party for Mr. Nuri.
My last year at PingoCon,
yeah,
as somebody who was on staff, like I was on staff helping somebody out this year, but I wasn't actually in charge of anything.
But no, considering that this is the whole reason you came to Detroit. This is
totally.
It's a monument. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal, and I've been telling people for years that all I've wanted was to get into an office chair and be pushed around drunk at the convention. And so I went back to my room on Friday, and the sales staff at the hotel actually put a beautiful leather office chair in my room with a sign on the back that said, "Reserved for Nuri. If you find him, quote, resting, quote, take him to ops. Love, Canadian Chena." And this was just something that I've wanted to do forever. And it happened. And it was so great. You know, I DJed a couple of parties. I DJed the Barfleet party. I DJed the morning rave. You DJed at my going away party. Like, it was just it was such a fantastic weekend. It was the perfect kind of topper on an amazing history with the convention.
So I'm always shocked at the level of differences in everyone at PenguinCon, yet it all makes sense.
It does.
Like, it's just this – the craziest mix of human beings.
Oh, the Venn diagram of that con is just wow.
Right. Right. I mean, like, you have, like, you know, everywhere from, like, the 60-year-old Linux nerds to, you know
– the millennials kids, and the Pikachu outfits.
Right. Everybody in between. It's awesome. If you're not a part of it, definitely put it on your calendars for next year, penguincon.org. It's $40 ticket for the entire weekend, and they give you food and beer.
Can't really argue with that.
No, it's the.
I think that's the Friday ticket at Motor City, and there's no free food.
No, there's no
free beer.
$7 almonds. I did get a chance to see Endgame with my children for the second time.
Cool.
In the reclining seats in the middle, not in those cramped IMAX seats. So I actually got to enjoy it, and I'm trying to look for Easter eggs, and the only one I came up with coincided with the meme that's been going around totaling up all the hours of the MCU universe, which was approximately –
which is still under debate.
No, like, it's under debate.
Which site you go to.
But I'm going
to
bring it out where Tony Stark's daughter – this isn't spoiler worthy, so I'm going to talk about it anyway, but if you don't want to hear it
– the spoiler ban has been lifted by the director.
Is it been banned?
Well, the new Spider-Man trailer is out that is – heavily spoiler-like.
Yeah, they called it out too. But basically,
you can keep it simple. Just, there's a scene where Tony Stark is talking to his daughter, and he says, "Hey, I love you 3,000."
Yeah, and it coincides with, if you total up all the hours of the MCU for the last 11 years, it totals 3,000 hours.
Minutes.
Hours. Yeah. No, it's 4 years later.
Right.
3,000 minutes. But then there's some debate because it's a couple hundred. It's like 150 short.
Well, yeah, because there's a couple. There are some people that are saying that a couple of the lengths of the movies that are being reported in that are wrong by as much as 10 to 20 minutes in some cases. There's the other story that it's really what Robert Downey Jr. says to his kids.
That's what I read too. Yeah,
it's just one of those things. Either way, whatever. It's on the internet. Enjoy it.
You're gonna find an Easter egg if you want to find an Easter egg.
But speaking of memes, the internet crushed it today after Game of Thrones. Apparently somebody from either the continuity department or the set department either did not notice or was paid an enormous amount of money to leave a Starbucks cup in the middle of one of the scenes.
I didn't see it. Everyone I talked to –
I believe that's Starkbucks.
Right.
Nobody saw it.
Randy!
But looking at the screenshot, I can't see a Starbucks logo. Did you?
No, it's
definitely Starbucks.
It's a Starbucks coffee cup. It absolutely is.
Now, the conspiracy theorists are already out that the PR that Starbucks has gotten from that, from people talking about it this
morning,
is well worth. Because that's my joke with my daughter is every time, like when Tony Stark pulls up in an Audi, I'm like, you know, the new
they just paid. Yeah.
Sponsored by Audi. You know, but like, yeah, you wonder if Starbucks, you know, like, oh, wink, wink, nod, nod.
Hey, set guy, here's 50 grand. Just leave the cup.
But
there.
You think about the PR that's worth, you know, $100 million. You know, if you look at it in advertising, or just word of mouth.
Just the buzz that was floating around about it today. Hell
right.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It looks ridiculous. So when you like look at this table of like, you know,
oh, but dude,
in a Dilly Dilly ad, and here you have a damn Starbucks cup.
The photoshops that came out were amazing. Like, you know, they took, you know, the hyper dark battle scene that we talked about last week. Somebody took one of the buildings, that was along, the fight scene and put, one of the typical Starbucks storefront signs on the front of the building. It was amazing.
And then in Netflix news, I you know, you've heard bad things, but I thought it was awesome. There is a movie on, I know the Ted Bundy tapes have been out on Netflix for a while, but there is an actual movie that hit Sundance and won a bunch of awards called Extremely Wicked, Shockingly Evil and Vile. It stars Zac Efron as Ted Bundy. Now, right. Before,
you know him and love him in High School Musical.
Yeah, I know.
Now he's a serial killer.
I just walked into it thinking it was a thriller. Then all of a sudden they're calling him Ted Bundy. I'm like, oh my God, this is a Ted Bundy movie. And now I got more intrigued. And it was, I don't want to say that that's his defining role, like as an actor, but man, dude, that guy did just an insane job portraying. Like,
it's like I told you earlier. I mean, you know, you are the first person that I've heard say something good about it. I mean, a lot of people have said, you know, it was, you know, it's way worse than the tapes, you know, the documentary that was out. It's, you know, it's just not a good story. It didn't flow right, that kind of stuff. And it's interesting because you look at, you know, where those points of, you know, because the documentary, the tapes, their main source of information was the woman who got obsessed with Bundy when he was in prison and actually married him and had a child. Whereas the source of information for this movie was the girlfriend that he had before the spree started.
Yeah. And there's a few twists and turns and I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but it's an hour and a half. It's like an hour, 20 minutes. You watch Judd Apatow movies, give this one a shot.
Right.
go ahead. No, I thought it was so well done, especially for, I love the 70s period pieces and trying to look for nuance, and they absolutely nailed it.
I'll give it a watch. Speaking of finally watching, I did finally watch the Real Sports thing about the District Detroit. Did you ever catch that?
No, I totally missed it.
You know what? Well, I mean, for what it's worth, it's only like 15 minutes of the show. I mean, the show's an hour long, and they only spend like 15 minutes talking about it.
So when they interviewed Francis Grinnell?
Yep, absolutely.
I absolutely love Francis Grinnell.
The state rep that was like the one that authored the bill and pushed the bill and all that stuff was, you know, obviously the Illiches had no part in it whatsoever. but the state rep that actually like pushed the bill and got the bill signed and all that stuff did take part in it, and they lit him up one side and down the other. It's worth a watch just to see, because, you know, and they compare it, you know, they compare Detroit with other cities. They make the point that everybody makes where, you know, there's so much evidence out there that public funding for a sports stadium doesn't actually wind up benefiting the city that it gets put into at all ever. But they compare it to a couple of different cities and what has been done with the funding that's happened. And like, you know, you look at those other cities, and the people have actually followed through on developments and literally they point out the only thing the Illiches have built other than the arena are 28 surface parking lots that just make them more money.
And then there's that weird thing about why all the parking lots or the street parking is closed off on game days.
Yep.
Pushing people toward their lots.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, if you look at what goes on at the Detroit Shipping Company on game days where
they close off Cass.
So you can't get
– Well, they close off Peterborough.
They close off Peterborough, so you can't even turn into the DSC off of Cass.
That's terrible.
Right.
It's for traffic control, right?
Oh, yeah. It's not to go to the bar afterwards.
That's their story, and they're sticking to it, yeah.
We talked about something like a year and a half ago.
One more Netflix
Go ahead.
Because I am currently binging the hell out of Lucifer.
Was that out last night?
Wednesday.
Was that Wednesday?
Wednesday. No, this Wednesday it this comes Wednesday. Back. Yes. So I like I'm almost through season three again because I want to make sure I'm like good to go and ready to go for when it drops Wednesday. Because like those are the back to Motor City. You've got Lucifer, Maze, and Amenadiel that are all going to be at Motor City.
That's crazy.
So yeah, it's such a good show. Like I'm just remembering all of it. Like just what a great show that is.
It's one of those few shows that I've watched that didn't ever get bad.
Nope.
There was never a lull. It wasn't like they were filling in with Monster of the Day kind of stories.
Right. Nope.
All of it kind of kept the storyline going.
Yeah.
Right. So it's kind of like a crime for those who haven't seen it. It's a crime procedural. Kind of. With a supernatural twist, with a charming devil.
Yep.
Like, it's such a great show.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the season four.
So we talked about this about a year ago, year and a half ago, and it's finally happening. And I got really excited when I read the title.
Ooh, Ron basically Paul, like, Jeff?
No.
It's happening.
No. but basically saying if you're a Ford or Lincoln order, you can get Amazon orders delivered to your car.
But then you'd be driving a Ford or a Lincoln.
So now the first thing I'm thinking is going to be like I'm envisioning The Hangover where I'm on I-75 and I order Funyuns and a Red Bull and here comes the Amazon truck next to me and throws it in my open window.
Just pulls up to the window next to you.
And I was sad to find out that it's they can unkey or key lock your
Yeah, it's keyless entry.
Put in your car.
Hopefully they're not keying your car.
No, they can open your car via the app and then apparently they have to make sure that it's locked before they leave.
I think is it the car? Like, because when we first talked about this, I thought it was strictly trunk access.
No, it's car now.
Okay. Because
they're talking about, you know, it said for added peace of mind, delivery drivers are required to double check the door handle before leaving to make sure the car is locked. So now the iPad, instead of being on your porch, is on your car on your front seat and someone's going to pop your window.
Right.
Like, way better.
Well, and then how long until the first claim where, oh, they didn't double check it and so my car got stolen or whatever it was they left got stolen.
Or I had 20 pounds of weed in my trunk and now they're gone.
And now yeah.
Or I didn't have 20 pounds of cocaine in my trunk before the driver showed up.
Right. Yeah, officer.
Wow. That's an interesting angle I hadn't thought about. Someone else had access to my car. Boom. Throw it in court.
So speaking of drone delivery, this is kind of a bizarre story.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I like it. I don't know if it's even worth doing. But basically the title is like Uber for organs. Drone delivers kidney to Maryland woman. Now, if I'm dying and I need a kidney, like I want that thing in a igloo cooler
with a helicopter,
with two paramedics on ice, and the good ice, not like the little goose poop ice,
dry ice, yeah,
right, exactly. Bringing that thing, hand delivering it. Like I don't want no damn helicopter outside. Who knows what hillbillies out there with a 12 gauge shooting the thing down?
I saw this story, and the only thing that came to my mind was the Rowan Atkinson Rat Race level shenanigans. You remember that movie?
Yes.
I thought about the South Park episode where they had the drones that watched the drones.
Yep.
Yeah. But what's interesting, though, this is a big problem, Bob. Like, there are a ton of people who are on the waitlist. In 2017, 6,500 people died while on the waitlist. Like, how many helicopter dispatches are you going to do for organs when you can have cheap drones do it? And then reading about the backup system for these drones.
Does a drone go faster than a damn ambulance?
If it's in New York City streets trying to get up the avenue, totally. But they have backup propellers and motors, dual batteries, a parachute system. So basically it's not just going to drop your liver there on the sidewalk and fly away. There's a bunch of things that kind of can take place to kind of help it out.
Wow, somebody actually did some contingency planning. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I was going to say the drone flew, 700 hours and 44 test flights before the journey. So they didn't like – this wasn't V1.
Right. A couple of interesting Facebook stories that came out. So I'm sure everybody by now has seen the redesigned Facebook app that everybody was bitching about. Because yet again, I'm sorry that the thing that you pay no money for has mildly inconvenienced you.
Did anyone complain about it?
Or
just noticed that it was – I just noticed something like was different.
It's kind of clean.
It's a lot cleaner. But they said they're refocusing basically on the two things that everybody uses it for most, which is not your feed but groups and events.
That's what most people use it for anyway. Nobody uses it for new. Who posts news articles anymore except for Brandy? I don't know. I'm just making fun.
It's grandparents sharing fake news. That was last week's story.
Right. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And then the other one, I just love the title of the article. Not that we can say the whole thing, but it was, Facebook wants to know who among your friends you want to F.
Say Bork.
Yeah. Where apparently, like,
well, the Facebook dating, I don't even know where that is on the app. Is it, Randy?
It's not there for the U.S. That's why.
Oh, it's not there for the U.S.
Oh, that's okay.
There's only a couple of countries that allow it.
U.S. coming by the end of the year.
Philippines, Vietnam, Singapore, Malaysia, Laos, Brazil.
And if you're lucky, you will be too.
Yeah.
The best line of this article, and it said basically, if you both match, Facebook will reveal your names, and the spirit of Mark Zuckerberg will lean back in his chair, waggle his eyebrows, and whisper, "Nice."
Like, the whole point is like you can pick. I think what was it, up to 8 or 9 of your friends, and say that you're interested in them, and then but nothing happens unless the other person also says, "Yeah, I'm interested in that person." On their end,
well, it's a secret crush that's called, yeah. Like where basically you can, like, I don't even know what that means, like.
But it's basically like those sex buttons we talked about, where one person would push it, and
if the other person pushes it within 15 minutes, oh,
they
great.
Both light up, and then you can do it.
Whatever happened to just friggin' talking to people? Yeah.
Wanna? Okay. I guess those days are done.
8 or 9 people, that really severely limits.
Do you want to know?
Anyway.
Do you want to know how to kill Facebook?
Yeah, your
real
friend
quick?
Pool.
You want to know how to kill Facebook real quick? Put in the, or Facebook dating at least, put in the LinkedIn functionality of who's viewed your profile.
Oh.
Watch Facebook just slowly die a cruel death.
No, thank you. No.
Right. It's bad enough when you've liked someone's picture from 2009 on accident.
Right. And we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Peter Mayhew. You know, everybody, of course, knows he was Chewbacca in all of the Star Wars films. Died.
He wasn't just Chewbacca in the films. He was Chewbacca. Like, he was, as he was getting,
yeah.
Like, he was morphing. Like, he literally morphed.
Oh, he looked
into,
more and more like him over the years.
Yeah. Over the years.
He stopped shaving?
Oh, yeah, he was Dodie, yeah.
His hair was completely, like, if you look at pictures of him in his later years, like, yeah, he became.
But, yeah, good dude, so.
Well, I mean, considering the fact he was, 7'2", he lived a pretty damn
long life.
Usually
yeah.
People that are, like, the Andre the Giants of the world, they, you know, but, yeah, 73, I believe he was, so, yeah. What do you got?
We've talked about, you know, the death of Tumblr, but apparently Pornhub would like to buy it.
I think it's a really great idea because that's what basically caused all the Tumblr
problems.
That's
all
right?
It's all Tumblr was anymore anyway.
Verizon's OAuth purchased it,
yep.
Basically came up with an SFW policy,
oh, no.
And then everybody
Oath.
Left.
Oath?
Not OAuth?
OAuth is completely different.
OAuth is a protocol.
Yes.
Right, exactly.
And Oath doesn't even exist anymore. Now they're Verizon Media Group or something stupid.
So you know what stuck out for me on this? How stupid Yahoo is. Every time I turn around, they bought someone for something $1 billion.
And now they want to sell it for like $8.
Right. Like they bought.
We're going to need about $350.
They bought Tumblr for $1 billion.
Uh-huh.
If like I started Tumblr, like, I'm like, yes, I want to sell it for $1 billion.
What does Yahoo even do anymore? It's like.
Nothing. It's Yahoo News.
The Verizon Fantasy property. Sports.
Pop-up crap on my phone.
Yeah, they force me to use their app to read their news articles.
Yeah, that's what Yahoo does now.
And they fantasy football.
Yeah, that's probably the only thing that's out there.
Right.
So I do love the story just because, I mean, not necessarily the main topic of the story, but the headline was incredible.
Best headline of the year.
Where
one of the top.
Yeah, man brings computer to Best Buy Geek Squad. Because his computer is covered in gravy.
Did they say what kind of gravy it was?
No.
Was it like a sawmill gravy?
Was the Italian and it's actually sauce, or was it really gravy gravy?
Oh, you're going that way. I'm envisioning, like, I don't know.
Like brown,
brown
gravy.
Brown turkey gravy.
Yeah.
Not sausage gravy because that's too lumpy.
Yeah. No, but so yeah, apparently.
How do you spill gravy?
How do you spill enough gravy on your computer to where it's described as covered in gravy?
Like, usually there's a spot on my shirt.
Usually, right? Yes.
Usually.
But like eating poutine. Who knows?
Yeah, it could be.
No, but then there's also, you know, if you're dumping gravy, it's in a gravy boat.
Why are you doing that near your computer?
Over your computer.
Right. Yeah, my mashed potatoes, I needed to have the really tiny plate overly heaped with mashed potatoes sitting on my laptop so I could pour gravy on it. Oh. And then, oh, by the way, bring my gravy-laden computer into Geek Squad where they find all of my child porn and arrest me.
Dave, maybe he just called it. I don't want to gross you out real quick.
No. It was gravy.
Maybe he just said it was gravy.
It was gravy.
It was some man gravy.
It was gravy.
Randy ruined it.
That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Can we have a palate cleanser before we go to break, please?
Yeah, exactly. For the love of God. Well, we talked about, actually, this is one we talked about before. You know, we talked about all of the concerns about spying and embedded technology on motherboards and that kind of stuff. And I forget which company it is, but there is somebody who is pulling out of China for manufacturing strictly.
Supermicro.
Yeah.
We talked about this probably 100 episodes ago, but there was concerns that they had slipped in spying chips into the motherboards that were then sold to companies like Apple.
Yep.
Now all
there
these companies.
There were no concerns. There was one non-corroboratable report.
Exactly.
But it's on the internet, so it must be true.
Everybody denied it.
Yeah.
But apparently that was enough to super damage their reputation.
Yep.
So they're pulling out of China and moving to Taiwan, I think, for their supply chain.
No, it never made sense to me. Like, let me rant a little bit. Why? Okay, so here you are. You're going to outsource your manufacturing to a country that doesn't have any copyright laws, and you're going to hope that they're not going to steal your blueprints and your intellectual property.
Then nothing bad will happen.
And then recreate it, and nothing bad will happen.
It was back in October. It was actually a Bloomberg article. So, and they had like x-rays of the chips. Interesting stuff.
Nobody cares about facts.
Nobody cares.
We live in a post-fact world.
Facts or facts?
Facts. Machines.
Facts.
I was going to say.
I got a fax last week.
From who?
From
1996.
1996 calling. No, it's actually my high school transcripts. I need to copy them, and they faxed them to me.
I thought it was win a cruise. That's all the only facts that
Or remortgage my home.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we are going to take before we get to the break, this show is brought to
us by. Hey, so protect your data in transit and at rest with Go Anywhere Managed File Transfer, an award-winning cybersecurity solution. With Go Anywhere, organizations simplify, integrate, and move data anywhere securely and across all environments and applications. Here's how it works. Go Anywhere gives administrators a single point of control for encryption, automation, reporting, and much more, which you can dive into at www.goanywhere.com/ITinTheD. Go Anywhere support for file transfer protocols like SFTP and FTPS protects files in transit, while encryption standards like OpenPGP secure data at rest. And Go Anywhere's detailed audit logs and security settings also make it easy to track the transfer activity for compliance with PCI DSS, HIPAA, and GDPR. Go Anywhere is the only MFT solution that works on every operating system, on-premises or in the cloud. Its incredible flexibility makes it a perfect addition to any organization's cybersecurity toolbox. If you'd like to reduce costs, simplify file movement, and secure your data in 2019, Go Anywhere MFT is for you. So here's what you do. Learn more about Go Anywhere and how it will meet your unique file transfer needs by visiting www.goanywhere.com/ITinTheD. That's www.goanywhere.com/ITinTheD.
OMG, WTF, BBQ.
BBQ, yeah.
LOL.
It's a thing, LOL.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Rob Cote, CEO of Security Vitals. This is the IT in the D show.
And we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Cigarette Life, the American Teenager, and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Segment 2, episode 296. This is the one and only IT in the D show, broadcasting live here in Studio 1 in Podcast Detroit, beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob, the sales guy, hanging out with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG, and Randy. I'm doing the Twitters. Find us online, itinthed.com, where you can find all the things.
You know, we got to talk about rental cars for a minute. I flew to Philly last week, or was it 2 weeks ago?
Great town.
Absolutely love Philly. You know, I think you guys had some pretty epic shenanigans there.
Yep.
But I was there for a meeting, and I get out of the airport. I go find the rental car bus. I wait for the rental car bus. I get on the bus. I go out to the rental car.
The double Dutch bus?
Not quite. But okay. We get out to the rental car facility, which
it was not a double Dutch affair.
No, it's not attached to the airport, first of all. So then I wait in line at the rental counter and I get my paperwork and I go out to the car and just it's a huge process, right? It's a big time waste.
And unless you are elite, you got to stand in line.
No, absolutely. And I wasn't because my client booked the travel for me, right? So, but there's something better. And I'm reminded every time I rent a car that there is something better. And it's called Turo. Turo's a peer-to-peer car sharing marketplace where you can book any car you want, wherever you want it, from local people. It's in 5,500 cities in the US, Canada, UK, Germany. 9 million people use this thing worldwide. So basically, you're no longer getting a Ford Fiesta with 80,000 miles on it.
Right.
You basically have your choice of Teslas, Porsches, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, Ferrari, Subaru, Toyota, and more. And it's often at a lower cost than traditional rental car companies. Also, there's no paperwork. Like, I remember I went to Orlando and I rented a Tesla, and the guy was sitting in the arrivals lane with his flashers on. I walk out, shows me how to use his Tesla, and then off I drive.
Where did he go?
He took an Uber back home, actually.
He rented a car.
Yeah, right.
So it was literally the most incredible experience. Like, I had some questions about the car. I texted him. He texted me right back. Like, it's an amazing – you're renting a car from a person, not from a giant soulless rental car company. There are more than 350,000 vehicles listed globally on Turo. So you can get basically whatever type of car you want. If it's a truck to move some stuff or a nice fancy car to move around town on the weekend with.
So I pulled up the app, popped in Detroit. So the first results that come up, you got a BMW 3 Series for $45 a day.
What?
You need a pickup truck. You got Chevy Colorados. You got Ram 1500s. You got souped up Dodge Charger.
You could probably even find that Ford Fiesta with 80,000 miles.
I'm sure you could.
If you really wanted to.
Souped up Dodge Challenger.
I always talk about the pickup thing because I have to always go to Home Depot and get their stupid thing.
Right.
Oh, see, this changes everything.
Well, skip the rental counter with Turo. Insurance options are available on every trip as well. Download the Turo app, that's T-U-R-O, on the App Store or Google Play, or visit Turo.com. Get $25 off your first trip when you sign up for Turo and use promo code ITINTHED25 at checkout. Terms apply.
Awesome. I'm going to do the pickup truck like literally next week.
Seriously, my favorite thing.
Yeah.
You finally awesome. Getting this fridge out of here?
Yeah, that's why. I need to. I have to. But hey, we have been joined. We're very lucky to be joined by Rob Cote. He is currently the CEO of Security Vitals. They're a consulting firm in Pontiac. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me in tonight.
Good, good. So you kind of have an interesting history in this town with security companies. I go, let's you know, I'd love to talk about that. Then we'll dive into what you're doing.
Sure. Where would you like to start?
Well, I mean, you founded VilePoint.
Correct. Yeah.
VilePoint was a pretty big name locally, and you know, guys sold to AllCovered, which was Konica Minolta, and
it was a good process to go through building it up. Learned some things about how to start a company. Things that I have a saying about being an entrepreneur. When you grow one company, you learn all the things, all the mistakes you don't want to make a second time. And then the second time, you just make different mistakes.
Right, exactly. So. Well, that's the joke on the CRN Channel Champions. There's a bunch of 8-year-olds that think, when I grow up, and then my favorite one is, when I grow up, I want to work my butt off for 15 years and build my company up and sell it to Cisco and then do it all over again. You know,
like, it's kind of like Groundhog Day.
Right, exactly. So now, I mean, you're running Security Vitals, I guess. You kind of picked a different, like, similar niche, but you're still in the security play. I guess, why don't you talk to me through about what you guys are doing today?
Yeah, sure. That's great. We spend a lot of time building out and helping organizations understand if they're getting value from the millions of dollars they spend on security technology.
So you brought up an interesting point on the value cap versus the spend. I'm mind-blowing. Nuri, you'll love this stat, by the way.
If you look at the projected value cap of all the security companies out there and what their projected valuation is, there literally aren't enough companies to buy that much technology in the security space. So there's something funny going on in that whole space in terms of the valuations and ultimately who could consume all of that product.
And if you ever looked at, there's a PDF that got floated around by a bunch of CISOs on LinkedIn that had logos of all the basically, it wasn't even everybody.
Dude, it was just crazy.
Oh, yeah. It was like hundreds and hundreds of logos in like what was it split up to in about 14 or 16 different sectors of what you could, you know, verticals of.
Yeah, talk about an eye chart.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Right. How do you navigate that?
And that doesn't even begin to consider the overlap. And you know, we do a lot of work with SC Magazine looking at different products for them and evaluating the products. And it's very tricky sometimes to even group them because you may have one company that does covers, you know, six different disciplines in the security space, but it's all many times lumped into a single platform.
Right. And, but you look at like a Cisco, even like a look at what Fortinet's doing. They're doing everything from firewall to SIM and everything in between, right? Where do you classify them?
Well, that's a great, great example. Yes.
Yeah, sure.
They're even doing vulnerability scanning too.
Sure.
As part of that. So, and you know, candidly, some of them are better than others at certain things. They all have their strengths. And what we try and do is figure out where they fit best. And then in, you know, in the metric space, we spend a lot of time helping organizations. You know, I mean, some of the stuff, if it weren't true, it'd be sad, but we've been into organizations where, you know, executives have spent $1 million on a SIM and they're all high-fiving each other because they're covered now. They're good. I like to use the thumbs up, right?
Right.
Visualize that.
We're Mentos.
Good. Mentos, yes, we're good.
I can see like texting each other thumbs up emojis.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, we're covered. And you know, a year later, they're
and we're not.
Are deleting the alert logs because there's just too many of them. And one alert is, you know, the accumulation of many, many different logs that feed into it. And that's a different problem. If the alerts are too numerous, maybe you tune the system. But hitting the delete button to get rid of the alert logs is probably not a good option after they spent more than $1 million to buy a technology.
Oh, yeah. No, I always love those conversations, and I've had the same ones over the years where, yeah, we want to get an alert for, you know, here's the list. Are you sure? Because I want to make sure you know what you're asking for. Oh, yeah. No, we need to know. Yeah. It's typically 3 days, maybe four at the outside, where they come back and go, yeah, let's turn those off. Like maybe we just need these four.
Excellent example. Yeah. Yeah. We took a little different approach and said, if you believe that the technology is going to deliver value, let's instrument the technology,
right,
and see if people are even retrieving the alerts and in what time frame.
Oh, it's, yeah. One of my favorite things to do ever is like, you know, you've got, I mean, any organization has probably like 80,000 reports that get run and generated and emailed around. And I always told my guys, like, just once a quarter, just turn them off for a day. See if anybody says anything, sure. You know, because odds are good that a lot of those reports got done or should have been done for a one-time thing. And nobody actually looks at them. Nobody ever. And so we're just wasting resources getting them. Yeah.
Well, it's like – think about like an enterprise with Splunk, right? You know, you may have millions of messages of logs, but if you're not able to actually get it into something that's useful
– what's the point?
Especially if it's going to your email, you're just going to put it in a folder and you're never going to look at it, right? So
– yeah. And using that example of the executives, the other one we saw quite frequently is, you know, we're gonna monitor 1,000 items, 1,000 assets, right?
Yep.
And a year later, they're 5% deployed. So they're 95% blind.
Yeah.
Right? And nobody knows that. And that's the dirty little secret, right? And so
– well, that was one of the conversations I had with a mutual CISO friend of mine that's working for one of the bigger companies. And I said, what does it look like? What are you buying? And he's like, well, I'm forced to buy firewalls even though I don't want them. Don't – you know, I need them kind of. That's like 40% of my budget. I'm forced to buy 20%. 20% is like my logging and my VPN. And then I'm left with 20% to kind of maybe try to be innovative, but yet I got to buy that. I got to buy that. I got to buy that. By the time I want to do everything cool, it's just not going to happen. Yeah. And I'm like, that's it? He goes, that's it. You know, and HP always been preaching that. It's funny. 15 years ago, HP was preaching that we're spending 80% of our budget on maintenance and 20% on innovation, and we're trying to flip it. And it's never – I don't think it's ever been close to being flipped. It's still
– no.
We're still doing the same thing we've been doing 20 years later with all this new cool technology.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, again, you know, I guess how are you making sense of all this?
That's a great question. I think you talked about volume of data, and vulnerability is another great one. We describe vulnerability
scanning is kind of like being the good neighbor who mows your lawn, right?
Right.
You know, it's good maintenance, good security maintenance. But the challenge there is just the volumes of data. You take 1,000 assets with an average vulnerability count of 50 per asset. That's 50,000 data points right there. And so the way that we'll make sense of things like that are taking a look at exploitability as well as trending data for the executives. So the executives oftentimes just want to know, are we making progress? And Patch Tuesdays can throw that off, certainly, right? Yeah. But if you're
– especially if you say fail to do them. Yeah.
Yeah, that's just a minor point, right? But checking to see that vulnerabilities were actually addressed and the old version of a software was removed. That's something that organizations oftentimes overlook. So we will put we build it based on a process. We start with key performance indicators. So I mentioned one earlier that, you know, if you've got alerts in a SIM, are people even looking at them? And in what time frame? Well, that's a key performance indicator. The other might be, what is the overall number of alerts being generated over a particular time period? And if you – what we've done is we've built calculations to take those KPIs and roll them up into categories like security monitoring and then convert that KPI data into an overall risk score for that category. And executives can understand things like if you tell them it's like your credit score.
Yeah.
And the higher it is, the better you're doing. You could make it the lower too, but we prefer higher reward based. And the higher that credit score becomes, the better they're doing. And then when it takes a plunge, they're going to want to look at the KPIs and see where the gaps
figure out why.
Yeah. Where'd we trend downward?
Speaking of executives, I thought it was really interesting that Security Vitals doesn't just do consulting and some of the work you're mentioning earlier. You also do compliance as a service.
Yes.
For NIST standards and also virtual CISOs.
Yes.
Tell me more about that.
Which one would you like to start with?
Well, I think compliance as a service could bubble up into a larger security program.
Sure.
So we should probably start with what's a virtual CISO?
Virtual CISO is – so there's a market segment out there that really can't afford to go – have any of you looked at what the average CIO makes nowadays? I mean – or CISO, excuse me.
Oh, yeah.
It's a huge ticket item. So there are companies that need that. They don't know how to build out a security program.
Mm-hmm.
So they need that oversight, guidance, and governance to do that. They may have people that can do bits and pieces of it, but there's not a program discipline to say, let's use some framework, go out there, evaluate how we're doing. You could pick NIST, you could pick ISO, say, here are the gaps in our environment. Those gaps then become a prioritized force-ranked list of things that need to be done and tracked over time. So that's really what that's about. It's a certain market segment. It's not for the big companies that are going to hire their own.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, and we've talked about that with, it's not just CISOs. I mean, it's even CIOs and CTOs. Mm-hmm. There are companies that are on that tilting mm-hmm. edge where they need it, but they don't need it full time. They damn sure don't need one, hired internally, but they still need that role floating around.
You look at something like my buddy's company. They got the ransomware, and they're an old school 100-year-old parts distributor with 16 locations. Old school, they still do paper tickets, right? A lot of the things are the old. They have one like N4 for a ERP, right? And they have like one IT person, right? They're not going, even though they're a big company, they're not paying for a CIO, let alone a CISO.
Right.
But one day a week, maybe that's doable.
When they got hit. They called us.
Yeah.
It was, all right, how do we recover from this? All right. Walked them through.
Do you have backups?
Barely.
Yeah.
Barely.
That's an interesting point. Not every – you don't have to be a large company to be a target.
Correct.
You can be this mid-market company and you'd probably still pay ransomware or like a small hospital chain.
Well, and it's – if they're smart, it's probably those small to medium companies that they are targeting. I mean, like, look at the Target breach. They didn't – Target itself didn't get breached. The POS company got breached, which gave them the inroad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My favorite saying is when I'll talk to organizations, they say, well, we've never been breached. And then I pause. I say, well, how would you know?
Yeah.
Right. Do you collect information from your environment? Yeah.
Are you sure? Regularly?
So, with the average duration being about 244 days before people figure out they've been breached, you could have been breached.
244 days.
Look at Marriott. That was years they were in the system undetected.
Yeah.
Woof.
Yeah.
So the compliance as a service one's an interesting one too. I when you know cocktail parties, you're in cybersecurity trying to explain to people what you do. It's not easy.
Have you seen the movie Hackers?
Yeah. Well, no, but that's like 2% of what cybersecurity is about, right? That's what they all think of. Dave, you hack.
Hackers or Swordfish? Yeah. Which direction do we go? Yeah.
You got Halle Berry going for you in Swordfish, right?
Angelina Jolie going for you in Hackers.
Yeah. And that's what they envision. So when you look at the challenge of this NIST compliance program, which is being pressed upon any business that does work directly or in department directly with the Department of Defense, it is actually the NIST 800-53 that's been stepped up to 800-171. So the common framework used for HIPAA has now been beefed up and used for companies that stamp parts for tanks. And they have to do everything from vulnerability scanning to log aggregation to policies to awareness training to incident response planning, annual audit, annual risk assessment, annual security assessment. You might as well, I like to describe it, sit on a park bench, put your arm on their shoulder and say, there's the moon, start walking, let me know when you get there.
Yeah.
So we looked at the market space and said, well, gee, what can we do to help? And by assembling all those pieces, I describe it at cocktail parties, which is where I was headed with all that, as we are the personal trainer that works out for our customers. So, you know, we set the plan, the goals, and we do 80-90% of the work. Candidly, we still struggle because getting them to review even written policies
to approval, do that last 10%.
Yeah, I know. No. How do you get over the last 10%?
You need to jog 15 minutes today. Yes. Just 15 minutes.
I'd be happy if you'd walk to the water cooler today, but I'm okay. You know.
Here's your security Fitbit.
Yes. Oh, I like that.
Trademark.
That was a good plug.
Go on hover.com. Check it out. See what's
So that is a very different approach where we are literally getting in there. The first thing we do is we do a gap assessment, very similar to the CISO framework.
Yep.
But we're doing all the other pieces. One of the challenges with that one is that, you know, a lot of the control groups are all IT reliant, and these companies will outsource it to guys who do IT as a hobby. And you ask them if they have Active Directory and they look at you and say,
what?
Active what?
Yeah.
So, but it's been good. We've had some great, one of our best success stories is an organization out of the West Coast, and they put an accountant in charge of the program. Now, our initial thought was exactly, oh my gosh, really? She is a taskmaster. And when we ask her or tell her that this is, you know, you need to review the policies, we've written them,
right.
We're done. Wow. You know?
Well, that's actually not all that uncommon in a lot of companies where you had IT reporting up through the CFO. I mean, like for companies, because there are companies that before they hire a CTO or CIO, they get that CFO or they get that person in place.
Well, when you remember, this was back 20 years ago, who hired all the CIOs when that was a new position?
Yeah.
The CFOs did.
Yep.
And that was the running joke. Like, get in now because people are hiring you that don't have any idea what's going on.
What you do, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so it's been a great service offering for the market. It's actually launched some new – interestingly enough, when we started doing all that work and we're doing vulnerability scans and the number of clients we grew, that actually came full circle with the work we've done in metrics because we had to build out – essentially a vulnerability database and do reporting on a per client basis in a way that they could understand it. So
yeah.
with the things that they need to do screaming out in bright yellow lights to fix them. So we actually built a database that we host in a cloud that we bounce vulnerabilities off 3 to 4 independent threat sources and then have a per client view with a dashboard that's built on Power BI. And it's been really effective, very cost effective, and it's allowed us to very much stay on top of that with those clients. And then we've now migrated and offered that. We launched it last year to other clients that are outside of the NIST 800-171 realm.
It's nice.
Been very successful. It's been a lot of fun, yeah.
It's really cool to hear that you're a security company that's not just selling product or doing scans.
Well, or not just consulting. Like, here's all the places where you're screwed. Now you can go figure out how to fix them. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we are culturally, one of our core values is we're problem solvers. And I'll tell people if you don't – and part of that's education. They don't always know that they have problems. You have to ask – you know, you have to get to the symptoms to reveal the problem. But if they don't have a problem, we probably aren't going to be able to help. So you're right. We don't push products out there because – products aren't always the right answer.
Well, and true, and we talk about this a lot on the show, where it's also it's a hard and complicated conversation where people don't always see the value in security. Because it's that, well, we've never been breached before. Why do we care? You know, and no, you don't care until you wind up on the front page. But then, what's the net effect of that? You know, we just mentioned the Target breach. Nobody stopped shopping at Target. You know, we talk about Tylenol. Tylenol killed people. You know, when the package tampering thing happened, people didn't stop buying Tylenol.
Well, I use the stupid house analogy, right? I got locks on the front door. Why do I need a Nest Cam? Why do I need a dog? Yeah. Why do I need a gun? Why don't you? Well, you know, maybe you got a point, but do you know?
Probability versus possibility. Yeah.
Yeah, that is an ongoing challenge. The compliance ones. So in the case of NIST, that one's easy. Guess what happens if they don't do it? They lose their
contracts. You lose your contracts. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that one's pretty straightforward, although, you know, even today it's self-attesting. So I remember my thumbs up symbol.
Yeah.
We're all good.
All good.
We're all good.
Everything's good.
It has no teeth.
I had a – not yet, but it's coming. I had one of our customers is a very large military supplier, and they were doing an audit with – or review or discussion with one of their suppliers and said – you know, so you have multi-factor authentication. The supplier said, of course we do. We have username and password.
We have both kinds of music, country and Western. Yeah, exactly. But no, actually, that was one of the stories. That was one of the links I didn't shoot across this week. NASA apparently had a whole lost hundreds of millions of dollars because an aluminum manufacturer that was supplying parts for the rockets, and it was the whole – it was the – the part that it was supposed to break off when it was launching to actually let it achieve geosynchronous orbit and all that stuff, they falsified. Like they self-attested and falsified their test results and everything else for decades. And they lost either two or three multi-hundred million dollar satellites as a result of it. Finally came back and cracked down on them. And yeah, so I mean, like it's starting to get teeth because people are actually starting to check into this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, when you see our military jets in China that look identical, they just have a different name. You've got to wonder how that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole goal of the 800-171 program. It is a challenge, candidly, for a lot of companies because it's a one-size-fits-all standard. Mm-hmm. So they don't give any break or sliding scale based on the size of the company. So we'll work with organizations to help them share data, but make it so that it's not data that would fall under the standard.
Right.
Cleanse it in a way that makes it non-identifiable. And then they can send the powder coater that drawing to say, how much is it going to cost me per panel to powder coat this?
Yeah.
Right?
No, true.
Because there's no way they're going to get that powder coater to be NIST compliant with the flow through. Yeah.
So just going back to where you being in Pontiac, there was a cool article this weekend about kind of the resurgence. You know, someone that used to go to Pontiac 20 years ago to all the nightclubs and then it died and then it came back and then it died. Now it's coming back again. You know, it's got to be pretty cool to watching what's going on around you.
It is very exciting. We have great faith. There are, of course, Mad Dog Technologies. There's another company down there called PC Miracles and then Security Vitals. And from what I understand, there's another tech firm that's going to be put in down by the old drugstore. Off of Saginaw.
You know, like Flagstar opened up that movie music theater.
Up the movie theater. You know, we're right on the cusp and of tipping the scales because it's we saw it happen in Detroit. Once you get that certain inertia and momentum, it just becomes self fulfilling. We like it down there. It's been a great place right across the street from I'm a car guy, so right across the street is a couple of guys bought a building that they turned into a private car club.
Oh, nice.
M1 Concourse?
No, that's further down.
Ah, okay.
But he's on the board of M1 or was on the board, one of the guys who owns it. And this is one of the old nightclubs you used to go to.
Ah, and which one?
Oh, gosh. I don't remember.
Is electricity still there?
The electricity is still there.
Oh, Ultimate Sports Bar?
Sports Bar, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's
it's a car place now? Remember the big stairway inside?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That was originally a Pontiac dealership, and under that stairway is a concrete spiral driveway. And the only thing that saved them is when they poured those stairs, they put sand down first. So they removed like 15 or 20 tons of concrete off that ramp,
right,
in the stairs. But the ramp was perfectly preserved.
Oh, my God.
So we park our cars up on the second story, and that's where the storage is. And then the first level is part of it's the owner's, their personal work area. And they're doing some interesting things there.
And the stories I can tell you about going to that bar in my 20s.
They found a lot of the remnants.
I'm sure.
Yeah, they walked through with a black light. Yeah.
And bleach.
Rob, it was awesome having you on. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you so much.
Definitely appreciate your time. This is going to wrap. Oh, we want to find you online. It's securityvitals.com.
Correct.
And then Rob Cote, if you want to find you on LinkedIn, COTE.
COTE, yes.
And then, this is going to wrap things up for episode 296. I'd definitely like to thank Rob for the time and the insights. It was an awesome conversation. I'd like to thank our sponsors, PowerM, Go Anywhere, and Turo. Thank you for keeping the lights on. On behalf of Bob, Dave, Nuri, and Randy, do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
Emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, own the truth. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, Buick put their cars next to, the Bentleys? Why is this not marketing?
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just doing stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass, go home, unplug, get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me. I love this city. I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.